Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, gonna try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Just kidding. Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site, on the 247 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site, on the 247 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things formerly Pac-12 football. We had a really fun opening that we didn't have any audio for, so we had to restart the live stream. Mm-hmm. If you are listening to the podcast, you're not going to hear that because it's just a recorded podcast. We're still recording. It's fine. But we did start the show. We had a little fun with it. Dave had a different sort of cadence, and I tried to match it. I think I did pretty good, but you guys couldn't hear us, so we had to do it again. He gave a different one, so I had to do it again. So I feel like I have double duty here. And I had mentioned that the TikTokers, the youngsters, whatever generation that is, they're having something called TikTok, where they pronounce words or they enunciate words or whatever it is. Like, there's a certain cadence to the way they speak and their sentence structure and things like that. So I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
Yeah. I saw it on the news. I know you don't watch the news, but
you saw it on the news.
Yeah. So some of the young folks in
watching
the chat,
the local news at night.
I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that is, but I thought you might have been doing that.
No.
You're
no.
not a trendy TikTok.
I'm a 38 year old man.
Like, are you really?
Yeah.
God.
I know.
You're a dilemma. Yeah. Because you look older, but you act younger. I don't know. You're not that responsible.
I don't know.
But you do have kids.
I have two kids. Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I contain multitudes.
I'm back in the Continental 48, whatever.
Well, you were in the Continental. Now, this is where people get mixed up.
Okay.
There's Continental, and then there's Contiguous. What you're back in is the Contiguous United States of America.
Yeah.
Right. Please continue.
I was in the 49th state.
Sure.
Right?
It was one of the two. It was out of the 48th, 9th, or the 50th,
Alaska's
right?
The newest.
You think so?
I believe so. 58? Sure. 1958, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. But
both
colonial
possessions. Let's be real. We bought one from the Russians, and we stole one from, I don't know, the British or the islands or whatever.
Somebody else. Yeah. I love going to Hawaii, though.
Yeah.
You're not a big fan? Or you?
I love Hawaii.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
But you just don't like sand or beaches?
I don't like sand. It's coarse, it's rough, it gets everywhere.
So you're like a big island guy where there's like volcanic rock everywhere you could walk over.
Sure. No, but who doesn't like going to a place where it's like 75 degrees no matter when you go, and you can go sit by the pool?
I feel it was very, it was like kind of chilly there. So it was like 76. Like,
oh boy. That? Yeah. Yeah. No, when I was there for Thanksgiving, it was like 74. It's like, yeah, this is the only place you can go in America right now. That's 74 degrees.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are back. We are streaming live on our YouTube channel. Paul in the chat says, the first run at it was actually a moment of silence for Pac-12 football. That's why we were doing that. That's why you guys couldn't hear us the first time around. But if you are watching, I will try to put some of your comments up in the chat. Alejandro says, from no audio to no audio or video. Nice.
I think that was before we started recording. Alejandro jumped the gun on his critique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alex says, eat shit and die. Podcast of Champions management to its listeners. No, we're back, dude. We're here. This was not on purpose. Although Dave did go no sound at the beginning of the intro, the second intro.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
A fun little thing.
Very nice. But thank you, everyone, if you're tuning in live in the chat there. And if you're listening across the podcasting platforms, that's awesome as well. Hey, you got the Apple Podcasting app. You can follow us there. Rate us 5 stars. We love that. We love when you do that. Do we have any new?
We have 3 new reviews.
Wow. Okay.
First one is a 5-star rating from Bring the Buff, a podcast. This is a podcast. I keep it on the bottom of my queue in case I run out of material to listen to while I do tedious tasks at work. I would never give it 5 stars, except I thought it would be cool to hear my name if I actually listen to the episode when they get around to reading it. They do occasionally give a small tidbit of insight into one of the teams in what was once an actual conference, and even provide a chuckle or two here and there. But mostly it is going off on random tangents and diatribes, mostly by that Woodrow Woods guy analyzing names of coaches and the terrible things they do. I am curious as to what they will do when all the teams are blown across the country like a dandelion fluff this podcast is known, like the dandelion fluff this podcast is known for. Listen if you dare. Thank you very much. Bring the Buff.
I love it.
5-star review from Could Not Think of a Nickname. Here's a review, guys. Big fan of the podcast. Discovered it this preseason while looking for fun Pac-12 news, but have not missed an episode. I am a UT fan and have no rooting interest in the teams you talk about.
Okay.
But you guys make it so fun and informative that even us outsiders can keep up, and that is appreciated. Keep up the great work as always, knowing your base falls well outside the West Coast. I am strictly a YouTube subscriber, but you seem to really like these Apple reviews, so I decided to do you a solid while listening to your latest episode.
First of all, that's amazing. A non-Pac-12 fan, and to be fair, most of the people that listen to the show, they don't really even like the teams that they root for. They just have to because it's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Who follows us on YouTube, not even on the podcast, and says, I'm going to go leave you an Apple review just because you asked for it. So all you West Coast slackers out there that do all...
We should ditch the West Coast. We're just going to become a UT podcast.
Yeah. I don't even know. Is that Tennessee or Texas? Which
Who
one
knows? I think it's Texas. That feels like Texas.
Well, yeah. My ex would take offense to that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Just throw the UT out there. Well, thank you for the review. That was great.
And then we got a 5-star review from Big Frank D. Meh. I've been listening to the podcast since its inception, and it's okay. Both of the guys are douches, but I've grown to love them all the same. Don't come here for football. Half the show is dedicated to other topics, probably having little to do with sports. Do I miss any episodes? No, I wouldn't miss a single episode if my life depended on it. Love it. Thank you, Frank.
That's good.
Longtime listener.
I love it. Thank you guys all for the reviews there. And if you do want to get your, if you want to send us an email, you can pac12podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call or text us at 424-532-0678. It's not just for Perk, but kind of just for Perk. But if someone else wants to call in.
Whatever happened to Big Nick?
We haven't heard from Big Nick.
Whatever happened to Evan and Tempe?
He might have just... Sometimes he gets a little too high. I'm not sure.
It's been a minute. It's been like 2 years since Evan from Tempe called in.
Not about 2 years, but...
It's been a while.
But you can also tweet at us at Pac-12 Podcast. And the website is pac12podcast.com. You can find all the old episodes and everything. Is the Reddit thing still around? I don't even know if that is.
You keep saying we're going to go back to it at some point.
I don't know. I'm not a Reddit user, so like it's really hard for me.
Well, why do you think I am?
I don't know.
Here, I'm going to go to it for the first time in months.
Okay, check it out.
Ooh, that might not be right, or else it did go down. Hang on. Hang
we have a like chicken and egg thing going on here. Gil says, with Pac-12 no longer being a thing, do Pac-12 fans really exist anymore?
The last post in our Reddit was 6 months ago.
Okay, so it's been a while. We don't need to talk about that. But so do Pac-12 fans exist anymore is what Gil wants to know, David. Because we're here, I think they're going to still exist.
Yeah, I think it still exists. But we are now, we're now totally through the looking glass where the football conference no longer exists. Like this doesn't,
right.
Like this is no longer a thing. We have to actually change our approach here soon. This show is going to be just kind of a stupid one, but we do actually have to like get in gear for what the hell we're going to actually be previewing as we head into spring and all that kind of stuff. But do Pac-12 fans exist? I mean, this is one of those things where like, you know, the book American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
I have not read that.
Have you not read that one?
No.
All right. So it's this idea that gods exist as long as a certain number of people believe in them. Like, and if that belief dies, the gods weaken and die eventually.
Okay.
So in this analogy, the Pac-12 is like, you know, an Odin or one of those forgotten Slavic gods where like you still could believe in them. But
yes.
But it is, and if you do, the Pac-12 will go on, continuing to work in the shadows of the world. But as soon as you stop believing, the Pac-12 ceases to exist. You got to hold the candle for the Pac-12. You've got to continue to worship it in its own ways. Still call late night games on ESPN Pac-12 After Dark, even if they don't feature a Pac-12 team.
Yeah, that West Virginia BYU game is Pac-12 After Dark.
If you make these, you know, these moments of worship, you know, you pour your libations, then I think the spirit of the Pac-12 lives on.
It's kind of like advertising.
Yes.
There was a Simpsons episode where, like, I think it was one of the Halloween ones, where, like, all the ads, like, came to life and were, like, crushing the town.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it Lisa or somebody came up with a thing. It's like, just don't pay attention. So they had like a song that was like, just don't look, just don't look. So they weren't looking. And so when they didn't pay attention to the advertising, it died.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
So if you don't pay attention to the Pac-12, it will die. So keep paying attention. We here will help you do that. We will be an homage to what was formerly known as Pac-12 football. You still got the spring sports and stuff or whatever. But we're a Pac-12 football podcast, and Pac-12 football is over. But we're still going to talk about the teams that were in the Pac-12 footprint and when it comes to football. And that's why we got to talk about drama in the desert, David.
You really took that transitional opportunity, and I liked it.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Last week, if you go previously on the podcast of Champions, when I was in Hawaii... You know,
are you
going
to reenact it?
Kayla DeBoer goes to Alabama. And then since then, as of this morning, Jim Harbaugh is out. He's going to the Chargers here in Los Angeles.
Very strangely, it doesn't seem like anyone is really looking at, an elite head coach with a lot of years of experience who's been to a national title game, Chip Kelly, for any of these open jobs.
And a 500 record against the teams.
So I'm saying
that we're in the national championship game. So go Chip. But that's why you should get an extension and be at UCLA for many, 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 many years. So, yeah, we had that. And then you had the sort of like kind of drama with Jed Fish, you know, everyone's favorite coach, going from Arizona to Washington to take the place of Kalen DeBoer. So there's a bunch of drama going on in Tucson. So I think we're going to have to start there. I guess maybe the newsy, like the kind of news stuff. You know, it was a little crazy with what sort of happened there. And there was talk of if you're a, you know, state employee for Arizona, you can't have like a contract longer than 5 years, and Washington could offer 7. There was some of that kind of stuff. But whatever. Athletic director Dave Hickey is out. So he got fired. So, you know, the... was it the CBS Mornings host, Robin Roberts? Or like, she's apparently the president of the University of Arizona or whatever it is. She says, you are out. Mr. Weird last name, Hickey. So Brett McMurphy said that he was fired for, quote, financial and operational mismanagement, resulting in an athletic department financial, quote, disaster, loss of major donors, and mishandling of former coach Jed Fish's contract, according to his sources. So Hickey did hire your favorite name in college football, Brent Brennan.
Brennan went off the review.
That's the guy doesn't listen to a lot. He listened to that because he was talking about you making fun of the names or whatever. So he did hire the new coach, and then he gets fired. And so Jason Shear reported that there's an audit in the athletic department that will be released in the next week, and the results were not good. Remember, there was like the $250 million like missing funds or something kind of went wrong there. So Shear said there's other issues at Arizona, but Hickey will be taking the fall for it. And Matt Candrea will be acting as the interim AD. So he was, let's see, he was a former Arizona softball coach. And now he's going to be the interim AD. And his tenure will end on February 2nd. So he's still the AD now, but he's out as of February 2nd. So all that's kind of there. Thoughts, Mr. Woods?
So
I just hit your camera. I think I did.
I don't know what you did.
Yeah.
You were waving your arms about.
I didn't wave.
You were gesticulating wildly.
I don't know about wildly, but
I would say. So here's my outsider view of Dave Hickey on the hires he has made as athletic director at Arizona. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
He hired Jed Fish, and that worked out. He hired Tommy Lloyd. That appears to be working out.
Yeah, that was good.
And, you know, we'll see on Burt Burton, whatever the hell his name is, Brett Brennan. We'll see on him. But it certainly appears he's retaining a lot of guys. Noah Fifita, Tedero McMillan. They got Raymond Polito back out of the transfer portal. So
the offensive lineman, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot there that, okay, so those are the public-facing things that me, idiot, from afar can see that I'm like, okay, seems like you're doing your job.
Yes.
Jed Fish is getting, I think, he's getting his salary basically doubled at Washington. Or maybe a little bit more than that.
Because he's getting over $7 million a year for like 7 years.
Yeah. And so if I'm understanding, and look, I follow Jason on Twitter. I see a lot of other Arizona people in my timeline. I don't follow too many, but I see a lot more of them because I think I look at these a lot. And so Elon sends them to me to look at more of them.
Yes.
And I find it very vexing, but I also find it titillating in some ways, like the inner drama of what's going on with Arizona, just general, like media,
it's
athletics,
so
the whole thing. There's I mean, if you want just to watch some Twitter things happen, go just like click on a few Jason Shear tweets and suddenly your world will be opened in the For You tab to like so many people involved in the cinematic universe. But my main takeaway, if I can read through what's being posted and what's not, okay, is that there's a narrative being put out by Robin Roberts and people associated with Robin Roberts to kind of cast some clouds on Dave Hickey and put a lot of the onerous weight of what's gone on with university-wide finances, but also athletic department finances on this guy. And there is some legitimacy to it, but not an overwhelming amount of legitimacy to it. Like there's a lot of other problems, many of them related to Robin Roberts. Good morning. Is it Good Morning LA? Good Morning America?
Good Morning LA. I think she's CBS or something.
Right.
Is she
but
the CBS
she's,
one? Or maybe ABC. Maybe
I think
ABC.
Her
ABC,
attention,
think.
Her attention between that and running a major university apparently has been a challenge.
It's tough to do.
But I think some of the blame falls on her.
Because you got to go to New York every day for that. Yeah.
Correct.
Like, that's a lot.
So my main takeaway is there's a lot of narratives being thrown around in the background to explain all this. There was enough there for Dave Hickey to be fired, but interestingly, not enough for him to be fired with cause. So he's still getting paid out his contract. So this is, I think we're in sketchy territory. I think it's classic Fall Guy stuff. They got to get somebody high enough up, but we're not having President Robbins resign. So I think that's what's going on here. Because again, I remember reading a lot of Arizona fans who weren't super stoked about Dave Hickey. They thought he was kind of a clown and a joke. He's hired pretty well, though. Yeah. And I don't know if that opinion has changed largely. If any Arizona fans are out there, if you can sound off on your opinion of Dave Hickey. But my general sense is he's been fine hiring and that sort of stuff. He did get caught hanging out in Pullman when his head coach was leaving from Arizona, Jed Fish.
Yeah.
And then this is the part where there's like seems to be a competing narrative, because we've gotten we saw some people reporting something to the effect of Dave Hickey was trying to negotiate the contract with Jed Fish beginning pretty far back. And then there's this counter narrative, and this seems to be coming from Robin Roberts, that there was no contact between Hickey and Fish through like the end of November. And he was really late on renegotiating the contract and getting him a new one. So that seems to be a point of contention and a point of reasoning for the firing, but it does seem like there is a divided viewpoint on that. So it's very unclear. I recommend following Jason. I recommend following who else has been posting in this cinematic universe? Ralph Amsden, George Reitster, Michael Luke, all those guys.
Michael Lev.
Get in there and really take it all in. Just bask in it. Don't try to assess right or wrong.
Yeah.
Don't try to come up with your own impression of what's going on. Just really soak it all in.
Especially the fighting is fun.
The fighting is fun. We like the fighting.
Like it. So when you're an AD, if you're a fan of a school, like you are your AD to make good hires. And it's not like it's great if you got a great lacrosse coach, but you want football and basketball to be
right. We have breaking news in the chat.
I do. We're going to do it real quick.
Okay.
So you get that. Like you want that to be the thing. But these are departments that are – tens, if not into the hundred of millions of dollars. Like, that's what your budgets are. You got to get that part right, too.
Mm.
And, you know, I think sometimes if a bad coach comes in, the AD probably gets too much blame. Sometimes it's like other boosters wanted that coach or whatever. And then sometimes you make a great hire and you could, you know, maybe you didn't even have that much to do with it. But there's... It's just, but on the surface, like you are responsible for that coach that's coming in. If they do great, you'll be praised. If they do shitty, you'll be blamed. But you can't have like horrible business sense. And I'm not saying he did, but there's bad business stuff that was happening, including elements of the contract. And it is weird when you have like these super agents that know what contracts are and you're, it's almost like you're going to, you know, like you're selling snake oil into some small town and you're duping all of the local, you know, local idiots there. Like the ADs aren't really smart with this kind of stuff. And you can get taken in some of these contracts. So they don't like Fish's contract, especially according to Shear. And yeah, that's kind of why you're here. But I think there's more of a university-wide problem with they bought that online university. The missing mutt, like, oh, there's a lot of other stuff that were going on. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it's very clear. Robin Roberts, whatever you want to call that person, shouldn't be in charge of that university anymore. That would be my main takeaway as a nonpartisan. He's fucked up a lot of things. So just see you later. Get out from under that guy as soon as he possibly can.
Five of a Kind Media says President Bobby Robbins is saving his own ass. Hickey, the Fall Guy, Robbins may still get fired. So
good.
We like that. But we do have some breaking news in the chat because we have other stuff we got to talk to. But let me put this up here.
Yeah, baby.
From Eric Robbins.
Any relation? I was gonna say. To Robin Roberts.
Thank you for the super chat. $20 super chat. Hey guys, I'm a regular listener on Spotify. Saw that you were live and wanted to contribute. Thanks for the entertaining pod and for answering an occasional dumb question I email you.
There are no dumb questions.
No, only our dumb answers.
Yes. Yeah. There are lots of dumb answers.
It could be very good questions. We'll give you dumb answer. It could be not as smart questions and we'll get. But thank you for the super chat. That was nice. Didn't have to do that. Okay, so the AD's out. But, like, to me, this is one of the big, like, this drama is a lot more fun that you have. And let me pull up his name. Humberto Lopez is a
local businessman,
booster of Arizona Athletics. I don't know, and not like a regular, like, I don't know if you say mega, but a big booster, like someone that's, you know, can make things happen. And the reports were that he had a handshake agreement, and I forget where this was coming from, but they, you know, I saw it on Twitter and I kind of read through everything, but that Lopez had a handshake agreement with Jed Fish that was saying, like, hey, I know they're going to, you know, their money, I can make it worth your while here. We'll make it work. We'll keep the players and blah, blah, blah. And apparently Fish shook his hand and agreed to this. So this is the thing we talked about last week where you're getting broken up with, right? But how?
Do you want the quote? I've got the quote.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
He told me how much he wanted to stay. So I said, if you stay to shake my hand and look in my eye, I can get you what you're looking for. And he said yes, referring to the conversation he had with Fish. I'm very disappointed with Jed Fish. I thought he was a friend. I thought he was a man of his word. We shook hands. Right now, Fish is desperate to get some of the players back. We're trying very hard to keep them. Fish is throwing all types of money at them.
So, yeah. So he felt very spurned by that. I shook his hand. He said he's going to stay. And then he left. And this is what we talked about. Like, the breakup is like, it's a breakup, you know? But a lot of people get kind of hung up on how it was. Now, if you're a booster, like, if, you know, if Dave and I, if he shook my hand and said, we're keeping the podcast together, and then he left and went somewhere else and, you know, went on a show with, like, Ralph Amsden or something, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, hey, man, you shook my hand. You said what's going on. So I get it. Like, I get, but he's, like, a powerful booster. And then so he's taking it personally, saying, screw you. Like, not that he wants Washington, I mean, Arizona to do well, but he's like personally going and like overpaying for players so Fish doesn't get them.
Well, he's got rich guy syndrome, which is his ego is always going to be the number one most important thing in any situation. And his ego was bruised. So, yeah, I'm sure he's an Arizona fan. I mean, you wouldn't do that if you weren't an Arizona fan, but. Jed Fish just told him fuck you, so he's got to tell him fuck you harder.
Yes. So like Noah Fifita,
yeah,
and T-Mac are two of the players you'd mentioned. You know, there's Arizona's losing some guys, but they're keeping some guys too.
Yeah, they're doing a better job of it, I think, right now than Washington is keeping their guys home. Out of that transfer class.
I mean, Washington, Arizona was set up better for 2024. They had more to keep, where Washington was losing a lot of guys, and then the guys that didn't lose,
they're losing.
They've
again.
Lost yeah. now. Like yeah. that's a rebuild. But yeah. he was going to try to make Fish's life as difficult as possible in Seattle, and it seems like he's doing a pretty good job of it.
Amy says, all coaches do this. They eventually leave. You can't take it personally. That is a hell of a thing for a Utah fan to say. When did Kyle Whittingham ever leave?
No.
He's never leaving. He is carved from the granite of Zion. He will return there when he is finished at the university. He will never leave.
No, he's going to be like Ben Kenobi, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like even when he's not the coach anymore, his like hologram is still there.
Yeah.
So, but I just thought that was.
And Utah kind of looks like Tatooine in parts.
A little bit. I just thought that was, and Dave doesn't usually care about stuff like this, but like me reading like the booster going, F you, I'm going to keep players here so you don't get them. I just thought was like brilliant.
I love that kind of stuff. I think that's the kind of stuff that makes college football so interesting, is even in the NIL era, is just a one booster, like one very wealthy guy getting kind of pissed off can like change the course of a tenure. Because like a week ago, I would have said, oh, yeah. I mean, Noah Fifita and Teddero McMillan are probably following Jed Fish to Washington. Yeah.
That's big that he's not getting those guys.
But now they're not. And so and a lot of other Arizona guys are also not. And it's like, huh, what's going to happen here?
Amy said, Coach Urban Meyer, don't get me started.
Oh, geez.
She's also you a Star keeping... Trek fan. So for us to make a God. Star Wars reference, we're more Star Wars guys. Sorry, Amy. I know you're a Star Trek person. But
yeah.
Yeah, Urban Meyer did leave, but you know, Whittingham's been there for 43 years or something. So I don't even know. I don't know if she's old enough to remember.
And then we've got an Oklahoma State fan saying the same thing. Mike Gundy's been there since friggin' ever.
Oh, yeah.
Since he was not a man who was 40.
That was, you know, how old is he now? Because you remember the
he's like 56 now, I think.
But he gave a speech about, I'm a man, I'm 40.
He's 56. Wow, why did I know that off the top of my head?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Scott says a master class in pettiness. I went through some, I don't want to say similar, but there was when I was at Rivals for a long time, USCfootball.com. David was at Scout. So there was two basically main networks back in the day, like in the late
90s. One more main than the other.
Rivals was bigger than Scout.
No, but one was better, right? We all agree.
Scout was better on the West Coast.
Oh, so for like things that matter?
For
correct.
Which was my biggest issue.
Well said, well argued. All right, continue with your point.
My biggest issue was I was the biggest site on the West Coast with Rivals covering USC. But they had not very good sites around me, where Scout had, you know, Washington was good, UCLA was good, or mediocre, because they're fine. No, I'm just kidding. Wow. Of course. They had big sites all up and down the coast, you know, and we didn't have that at Rivals. And so whatever. So Joel Cox, who works at Scout at the time, was like recruiting me for a long time. And then I eventually left and signed with Scout. Then we got bought by 24/7 Sports, who, you know, Shannon Terry, who had started Rivals, the guy I originally signed with back in 2001, But when you leave a network, it's like you still have your following, but my customers, everyone was staying at like Rivals. They would have to like cancel their membership and come over to Scout. And we eventually got to be bigger than we were at Rivals. So it worked, but it's difficult in the beginning. So kind of moving, like kind of uprooting, and you're hoping, like in his case, Fish was hoping all these people that he sort of got with him came with him. And when I left, and I'm friends with him now, but the guy who was running Rivals like kind of took it personally and was like really trying to make my life difficult when I went to Scout. Now, luckily, people came and it worked out good and we were bigger than we ever were. But there was that thing where it was like a personal, like the person that was there took it personally. And so I kind of, you know, somewhat relative to this, I guess, but. Does that make sense?
No, I think that was valid and good.
All right. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. There's also more Arizona drama with Jaden Delora,
who
the quarterback left for the transfer portal. His case from 2018 with when he was a juvenile sexual assault in Hawaii. Him and another player, former teammate, that wound up going to Wisconsin. Latu, I believe. So that was settled last week. He goes to...
The civil suit was settled.
The civil suit was
last
settled.
Week. So okay. The juvenile case that... the criminal case is like sealed or whatever, according to Hawaii law. The civil suit is how anybody knows about anything related to it, because the civil suit, the person bringing the civil suit, the victim, she included details from the criminal case in her civil suit, which isn't sealed. So we know from that at least there were text messages exchanged between the plaintiff and Delora, where Delora more or less admitted to committing the sexual assault.
Okay.
So, whatever, but you can read pretty much beyond a reasonable doubt that he at least thinks that he committed sexual assault. So if you wanted to call him, you know, a sexual predator or whatever, you probably could. That's probably fair. Texas State, he was going to transfer there.
Yes.
The entire student body, more or less, protested against that. And so he's not transferring there anymore. It's going to be very interesting now to see if he finds a destination, because that's Texas State.
Right.
Like, we're not talking like, I don't know, what would be, we're not talking Yale. Like, it's Texas State. They needed a quarterback and they still said, nah, hell no. So, it really does make Jed Fish and his support of keeping him, and then like just the real tone deaf comments about him, like when he decided to leave, really puts it in stark relief.
Yeah.
That, good God.
So there's like more
didn't
stink,
need to do that.
More stink on Jed Fish for the way he handled Jaden Delora, which he's now bringing to Washington. And the connection, and I was reading kind of through Twitter for this, you know, he withdrew from Texas State. They, Craig Stutzman, was the wide receiver coach there, I believe, and he's now the OC at San Jose State. But he was there, and he knew Jaden Delora from their time in Hawaii. He was the quarterback coach and co-OC at Wazoo when Nick Rolovich was there. And same, he did the same thing at Hawaii when he was a top player in the state of St. Louis in Honolulu. So there was that kind of Hawaii connection, the Washington State connection. So the coach that he sort of knew at Texas State left, goes to San Jose State. Students protest. So he's out there. So, yeah. So that's sort of like what's kind of been going on.
Yeah.
It's sort of crazy.
Yeah.
Arizona's involved in a lot of weird stuff.
Yes. Yes. It's a fun place.
Fun place to go. Okay. Anything else we want to talk about?
I think that's pretty much it for us today.
Okay. So why don't we do this? We got some questions. We have some awards to give out.
We do have a top 10.
Thanks to Shane. Yeah. So why don't we do this? We'll take a break and we'll come back and answer your questions. Back in a minute.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
All right. Ready?
Yeah, we're back.
Our first email is a doozy.
Podcast Champions. You want to start with that?
Let's do that first.
All right.
The final Podcast of Champions top 10 standings from Shane. Here it is. I'm officially announcing that this is the end of the Podcast of Champions. It's the final episode. It's been a good run, but it's time to fold up and head off to our separate conferences. Personally, I'm sad to hear the news that I just arbitrarily announced for you, but I suppose it was time. Probably not how I would have wanted to have this be announced if I were you, but I'm not you, so it's out of my control. Truly a sad day for all of us. I wish there was something we could have done to keep this going. Since you just made the announcement, I guess this will be the final top 10 list for the Podcast of Champions, so let's get right to it.
So, wait, so we're the podcast is over now because Shane said so?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, so okay. I guess we just got to wrap it up.
Okay.
Start with others receiving votes. Ryan Abraham.
Oh.
Okay, now let's get into the real contenders. 10, Kevin from Zusk. An elite subplot over the last several months is listeners signing this podcast up for various spam email offers. Speaking of, we got a new one, the Money Lion thing.
I did. I just unsubscribed for that
okay,
one.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank God.
And our name is Lorenzo for that one.
Nice.
So Shane for next year, even though it's over. But Lorenzo from Money Lion.
Yes.
Getting a lot of offers.
This podcast up for various spam email offers, knowing Ryan won't do any pre-work and will Ron Burgundy his way through whatever shows up on his teleprompter. But using pac12podcast@gmail.com to sign up for obscure sexagenarian dating apps is elite creep behavior. Here's the list of worst case scenarios when Kevin hits send on his flirty advances to Audrey, the 5'2", 60-year-old woman he hopes will accompany him to an evening of all-you-can-eat breadsticks at the local Olive Garden. 4, she never responds. 3, it's a catfishing scheme set up by a random data scammer. 2, it's a catfishing scheme set up by somebody he knows in real life, specifically to embarrass him. 1, the number one most embarrassing option, it's a catfishing scheme, but his private advances to, quote, Audrey, will be received and broadcast publicly on a regional amateur football podcast. I'm sorry, Kevin from Zeusk. There are a lot of fish in the sea, but this is a very small pond, completely full of dudes, and also Amy, a Utah fan. Number 9, Perk. I love Perk. I love being privy to Perk's personal call-in line. Once Stony Evan and Tempe graduated from ASU and moved back to LA to resume his USC fandom, like most ASU graduates do, it left Perk as the only voicemail caller. Perk genuinely asks interesting questions and seems invested in knowing things about Pac-12 football. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. 8, Tom. One time Tom wrote an email about how the Pac-12 being headquartered in downtown San Francisco made sense because Comcast pre-wired the building. That shit was so dumb that he spent the next several years descending into full James Joyce, writing increasingly incoherent, impenetrable stream of consciousness prose that readers would undoubtedly give up halfway through and walk away saying either, I don't get this, Thomas, this was Dave, or Jesus H. Christ, Thomas, what the hell is wrong with you, this was Ryan. Thomas, do you know how crappy your email has to be to make Ryan mad? This is like 7,000 words and they're still reading it. 7, Hithloday and Pals. This podcast is like that old saying about the Velvet Underground. Only 100 people ever saw them live, but every single one of them went and started a band. Only 12 people ever listened to this podcast, but every single one of them started their own shitty regional football podcast. Hithloday, Greg, the guy who likes basketball, the insufferable gambling guy, QB11, Duck Zone, they're all pale imitations of U2 giants of industry. Get it? Pale? Because podcasts are an inherently Caucasian endeavor. Sorry, Carlos. 6, Frank Grimes in Sacramento. This dude has been writing emails to the Podcast of Champions since 2015. I hear his name nearly every week. That's 300 plus emails, and I have no idea what he likes, what team he is a fan of, what his thoughts are on anything or any remote notion of what his personality is. Quick, Irv, give me a thought on Frank in Sacramento. See? Nothing. Hopefully the 6th place finish is celebrated by your family, Frank. We loved you, I think. 5, Jake Browning. For the first several years of this show, there were only 3 jokes, and Jake Browning was 2 of them. If you don't follow professional football, I'll give you a quick update. After foregoing his senior year and declaring early for the NFL last year, Browning finished the season as a rookie starter for Cincinnati's professional football club, and his high school coach, still basking in the glow of Browning's college stardom, recently landed a job coaching football at the ACC's worst lacrosse school. 4, Zodiac Killer.
Yes.
Earlier this season, you received a 1-star review, and the entire text of the review was, no need to listen or comment unless you're part of the small clique of listeners acknowledged and spoken to each week. Look at Who Banger on Apple Podcasts. I'm sorry nobody wants to talk to you or about you. How about you get your own affairs in order and come back with a years-long series of of increasingly unsettling voicemails where you sing 70s rock hits into a scuba mask. This dude once left a voicemail recapping make-believe future conference games between Cal and North Carolina State. Our resident Stanford fan might have been the only person here who actually understood this perverse assignment. 3, that guy who did the calculations to determine if it would be faster to sail from Los Angeles to Seattle or jog from Palo Alto to Salt Lake City. No notes. At Who Banger might not appreciate meticulous inside jokes, but fuck that dude. This shit rules. Number 2, David Woods.
Ooh.
D. David Woods' ability to bait Ryan into matching his intro cadence was worth the price of admission every week. This man could say, I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, as Sean Connery, Benoit Blanc, or Jar Jar Binks, and Ryan would instinctively shift gears to meet him. It's high art and gives David his highest grade ever, but it's not enough to get him into the top spot. In the number one spot, the Bradford M. Freeman Director of Winning, the Andrew Luck Podcast of Champions Champion, the Kevin M. Hogan number one winner of all time of our podcast, the one, the only, Bree the intern. She came. She came. She saw. She hated. She hated every single second of her experience being a part of this podcast for 80 minutes once and hurtled herself out of here as fast as she could. She was number one the first time this poll was released a few years ago, and she'll finish at number one in the final poll. Nothing any of us did over the last several years was enough to overtake her. Bree the intern, the wire-to-wire champion.
Nice.
Thank you both for everything you've done over the last 8 years. I know I'm not alone in saying I truly cherish the experience you provide every week. I was sad to hear that I announced a few minutes ago that you were canceling the podcast and this would be the last episode. Is there nothing we can do to convince you to reverse course at this point? You've created a community that is so much more than college football or Disney princesses. Gallipoli and Grant, you made offense a verb. Rob in Seattle flew to Istanbul and back just to call you from various historic sites. You somehow flipped a format where you bribed listeners to write nice things about you in exchange for gift certificates into a format where your listeners pay you actual real-life currency to say nice things about them. It was something to be a part of every single week, and I hope you felt the love that we all have for this stupid thing. Every one of us has toast brains for spending as much time with this podcast as we do, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. Can't wait to hear about Purdue spring practice or whatever. Enjoy retirement. Your friend and compatriot, Shane.
Wow. Shane.
That was
spectacular. Thank you so much, Shane. Hilarious, always brings it. And that was really good. Bree the intern. I should call Bree here finally. So she was a track athlete at USC. I'm sure she's graduated by now. That was a while. How long ago was that?
That was at least 3 years ago.
Yeah. So she's gotta be gone by now, I would think. But yeah. Well, thank you, Shane. That was great.
That was beautiful. That was a top tier email. That was one of his better top 10 lists. And there have been
very
many
good
ones.
They're always great.
Yeah, they're always
very
so good.
Very thoughtful.
Did he forget to do one last year? I feel like 1 year he forgot.
I think he might not have done one last year.
Yeah.
Emmanuel, did you saw what he said?
So I said
Odin is a Scandinavian.
Yeah, yeah. Odin is the father of the gods in Scandinavian Viking pantheon. I think I said Odin or some obscure Slavic god, but if I didn't, rest assured, I know that Odin was not a Slavic god.
Yeah. Amy says, yay for Shane. Love it so much and well read, David. Thank you. Yeah, Shane, that was pretty awesome. All right, why don't we play the voicemail since he mentioned Perk? Because, you know, it's his personal, he just calls in. Cause
yes.
It's like this, it's personal line to us.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Perk. Now that we're a few weeks removed from the playoffs, I was curious to get your guys, kind of see what your guys' kind of opinion is on Steve Sarkisian. I know in the Pac-12 footprint, kind of Washington fans hate him and USC fans kind of clown him. But I mean, his life story, kind of what he's turned around and everything seems pretty cool. And I was kind of curious just because he doesn't seem to get the same amount of clout, I guess, or praise that Lane Kiffin gets. And as much as I understand how Ole Miss is a tougher job to win at than Texas, just seems like Sarkisian's kind of viewed differently. So I was curious as to, one, why you guys think that is, and also what your true thoughts on him now. That seems like he's had kind of a career turnaround. Thanks, guys.
There are many things to hold within your mind about Steve Sarkisian at once. First, we can lead with this. Very good for him personally that he was able to apparently conquer his demons and get on the right side of that. So that's good. Two, there's a feeling of, you know, I wouldn't call it nepotism, but like this idea of the Pete Carroll coaching tree that really never came to fruition. None of those guys really deserved what they got initially, and then they kind of grew into it, maybe. Lane Kiffin probably gets branded more with that brush, but I think some of that stink falls on Sarkisian.
Yeah.
That he probably didn't deserve what he got initially. There was initial stuff where they were like kind of taking over for Norm Chow, where it felt like they were pushing out the venerable Norm Chow in favor of these two young guys. And if you can go back to like 2005 or whenever that was, a lot of it was a feeling that Pete Carroll, being an egomaniac, didn't want another strong voice running the offense, and so he wanted his kind of underlings to run it. So there was that that I think tainted the early career for Sark. Then at Washington, he got branded with that 7-win Sark. He was also beginning to have his alcohol issues. And then that carried over to USC. He had major issues. He's still, like, vibes I get from him is he's still a huge asshole. Like, just a big dick. Like, there's that one video of him this year pregame in the tunnel coming out of Texas where he's, like, screaming at the, like, ABC guy who's telling him, hey, you got to hold on because he touched him. Like,
yeah.
And he looked, like, unhinged. And it's like, dude, people are going to touch you. It's okay. Like, you don't need to be all hard up about it. So there was some of that. And he just, you know, there's a little bit of, like, just not a big fan of his vibe. Like, he just seems like kind of a tryhard. He, like, just seems like kind of a guy who's, like, trying to put on a performance as a person, which can be common for people who have, alcohol issues and that sort of stuff. It's an identity problem. But he's doing a nice job at Texas. It's the best job he's done as a head coach in his college career. And by all accounts, he did a nice job at Alabama as their OC. So, I mean, I think from a football coaching perspective, it would behoove everyone to understand that, and me too, your understanding of him is from, like, beginnings when he was, like, 26. When the hell, how old was he when he was starting at USC? It was, like, 25.
I think he was a little older than Lane, if I'm not mistaken.
But a guy can evolve and grow in a position, yes. And I think he has. I think he's gotten a lot better. I think his understanding of offense has improved, and I think he's now, like, I think he inherited the keys to a good program. I mean, Texas is always a program that can recruit, but he is a very good recruiter, and he's got a very good offensive scheme, and he's a very good offensive play caller. That's never really been in doubt, and I think it's all coming together for him because he's a little bit more on his own. He's on top of his personal stuff. So I think you give a guy enough opportunities, and if they have a little bit of aptitude, it'll eventually work out if they just keep getting handed opportunities. I think this is one of those things where the fraternity of coaching, the relationship building, the insular nature of it has really benefited him. And kudos to him for taking advantage of it. But this isn't like – it's not like he went back down to, like, be an assistant coach at the high school level. Like, he continued to be offered and given jobs at the highest level of the sport, and, like, at the first sign of his recovery, at the first sign that he was any good at all again, he got the Texas job, which is probably one of the top 10 jobs in the sport. So pump the brakes on any, like, this is an incredible redemption arc for a guy who had to, like, pull himself up back up by his bootstraps. Kudos to him for getting on top of his own personal stuff, but he was given a lifeline that a lot of people don't get.
Yeah, and the lifeline, literally, like, he almost died. It was a heart attack or an aneurysm. I think it was an aneurysm, and he had to recover from that. And and it's hard. I think I've learned over the years, like, you don't get into the personal stuff. Like, you can meet a guy, like, we could be covering a guy for years. We don't know them personally. They could act kind of gruff and be like, you know, go into soup kitchens at night when no one's watching, or they could, you know, go home and be mean to their wife and kids. Like, you just don't know. Like, and so it's hard to say. His personal life bubbled through at USC with the alcohol stuff.
Yeah.
And the good thing, we haven't seen any of that anymore. He goes through the Nick Saban rehabilitation program along with kind of Lane Kiffin. Lane was more, less like off the field stuff, more on the field stuff. When you compare the two, I just think of Sarkisian as more, I don't know if he was like a head coach. Like, he'd be more presidential. Like, do you act like a president or you don't? You know, like, you could say, oh, that Barack Obama wasn't a good president, or he was a great president or whatever, but he acted sort of more presidential than, like, maybe someone else. Lane is, but, like, on Twitter, like,
the thing, know, I would say,
like,
there,
a troll.
The know? Thing I would say there is, like, Sark acts more composed and more stoic. Lane's always had the big swinging dick thing, though.
Yes.
Like, he's always the biggest swinging dick in the room, and that's his approach to the whole thing. And I think that works actually a lot better than what Sark has going on. You have to be really good at the coaching stuff to, like, make what Sark brings to the table work.
Right.
He's not, like, he's pretty buttoned up. And so,
if you want to be you want to be Nick Saban if you're going to act like that, or Bill Belichick or something. But, you know, he made it to the playoff this year, so that's good. You know, we'll see what happens. But I, I think you always want to, people look at things in a slice of time and say, you're always this or you're always that. Teams change. If you look at the UCLA football team from week one to week, wow, you know, they look a lot different week four than they did in week seven. I mean, coaches evolve, you know, like you said, he got a job pretty young. Some of the chats that he played at BYU, 96, 97. So, you know, Lane Kiffin was a head coach in the NFL at like 31 or something, you know. There, you are going to change as a coach. Sometimes, I mean, you hope to evolve and get better, and sometimes people stay the same or they don't. But I think you have to allow them opportunities to get better, and I think both of them did. But I think Sark's more regarded, highly regarded as a head coach. And, you know, Lane had to go back to, you know, he went to a smaller school to be a head coach and then kind of moved his way back up, where Sark sort of went to Alabama and then, you know, was able to get the Texas job. So, and he, you know, he'd spent some time in the NFL and stuff too. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not convinced that he's going to be great at Texas. He already got him to a playoff, so that's pretty impressive. They got a lot of resources. They can spend money. And you have to manage that. You know, like, you can have Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen on your team, but you still need, like, Phil Jackson to sort of make it work. And sometimes you get a coach that's not going to make it work. And, you know, Sark did this year. So we'll see if they're able to kind of keep that going. But, yeah, I don't know. Just some thoughts on Sark. But I've covered him for years. You know, you want to see people – you like redemption things. You like people kind of bouncing back. And you hope he's got all of his stuff in order and goes on and keeps going and has a great career. We'll see.
Yeah.
His name came up for Alabama too. We talked about that. Like, that Nick Saban's coaching tree was so strong that, well – are you going to leave Clemson for Alabama? Maybe. Like, are you going to leave Georgia for Alabama? Like, no. You're going to leave Texas for Alabama? It's like, probably not. Like, he's got guys in like the highest levels of college football. So pretty impressive. Yeah.
All right. That's a text message. There's too much talent on the USC men's basketball team for them to be 8-10. Nobody's getting better. Coach needs to be fired. We're getting blown out by nobodies. Lincoln Riley, you need to do something within 2 years or you can go back to Nebraska, Oklahoma. Where the fuck you from? This is Smash from Nashville, Tennessee.
So wait, this is basketball, but then
I think he's like generally pissed about USC's performance in the two major sports, and so this is a two-parter. One, USC basketball sucking ass, being 8-10. Two, Lincoln Riley, I'm frustrated about basketball. Get your shit together in the next 2 years, or you can go fuck yourself too. That's how I'm translating Smash right now.
Gotcha. Okay, so we don't talk basketball really. But yes, I think they're probably, would you agree they're too, you never liked Enfield as a coach anyway. He's a recruiter.
Enfield's a very bad coach.
Good recruiter, bad coach.
Finally realizing that, I think this year, they're having the same issue UCLA is to an extent, too many freshmen trying to play too many key roles. But I do think even with that, they've got some talented bodies that are just playing a lot worse than they've ever played. Like Kobe Johnson, DJ Rodman, like all these guys. Boogie Ellis has been hurt. There's been injuries, the whole thing. But Enfield's not a good coach. And I think we've talked about this before briefly, but just again, USC basketball fans have a little bit, like, even more of an inferiority complex seemingly than UCLA football fans. And it's kind of crazy to watch because for the same reasons that UCLA football should be better than it is, USC basketball should be better than it is. Like, yes, Andy Enfield's maybe the best coach you've ever had. What does that tell you? Like, that you've got an underachieving dog shit program that should be better than it is.
Yeah.
Like, for him to recruit the talent he's recruited and for you guys to have the results you have is insane. Like, you guys should be occasionally in the conversation as one of the top 10 teams in the country. That's not happening under this guy. You can do better than this. And I have no dog in this fight. In fact, I have an anti-dog. I've got a dog in another fight that, like, I don't want to compete with the dog that emerges from this fight. But still, like, just put on your, like, brain instead of whatever, like, fandom thing you have and say, is this really what I want? I don't want this out of a basketball program. Get a new coach.
Yeah. And on the Lincoln Riley side, good first year, bad second year, bad defense the whole way. They've typically won the offseason with, like, players and not necessarily coaching. And mm-hmm. what they did on the defensive side was basically hire, you know, you get Danton Lynn, not a big resume in college, but did really good at UCLA the first year. And then everyone else they hired were like overqualified for their jobs. And I think that's the difference where USC wouldn't hire, you know, let's promote Rocky Seto to be the defensive coordinator. They've done stuff like that for years instead of getting a head coach to come in and be a position coach. Like, so that's what they're doing this year. So that's what they're trying to do to make the defense better. They're not going crazy in the portal. They didn't get the, you know, a top 10 recruiting class. So this is a little bit different approach. And from on the USC side, they're going to try to do the coaching development thing even more than just like bring in a bunch of five-star players and see what happens. So we'll see. You know, it's a little bit different than what USC fans are kind of used to, but I like what they've done coaching wise. You know, I like the whole coaching staff now as opposed to before. I kind of liked half of it. So I don't know. We'll see. I think we got one more from Bobby.
Yes.
We kind of talk about this, but Jaden DeRapist to Texas State in reaction.
Nice.
Says, hey, guys, still can't get over how a certain school and publisher did backflips to protect a rapist who wasn't as good as Noah Fifita. Here's an article from the newspaper covering Texas State. And note the general reaction by their fans is extremely negative. Huge contrast to the other aforementioned school. Thanks, Bobby. So we kind of talked about what was in that article, I believe, unless it's a different one, but... So they're saying Texas State was like, hell no, we don't want him here. And Arizona was sort of like okay with it or tolerated at least.
Yeah. And I think this is it's an area where I think we all could do better. I probably could have done this better, with Delora, but like generally with this sort of stuff, because we cover athletics, and so, you know, there's a little bit of, like, this laser focus on the actual on-field stuff, and we certainly critique Delora a lot, but only with the barest mention of the sexual assault. And that's a failing. The reality is they've settled. They've settled the criminal case. They settled their civil suit. I don't think he should be, you know, in prison for the rest of his life. But should he be like the celebrated star on a football field? No. And I think everyone with a little bit of like inward scrutiny can understand that too. I think a lot of what happened with Arizona, but a lot of what happens with a lot of schools with this sort of stuff is, oh, but he's the quarterback, and so I'm going to, you know, tie myself into knots supporting this. Or, you know, I don't want to say what I really think about this because I don't want to be cut out from my access or whatever it is. And that's, you know, I think everybody could do better at that. And kudos to Texas State for making a stand and saying, no, we don't want this. And it will be interesting to see if he finds a landing spot. Somebody mentioned Liberty as a possibility, and that certainly feels like a fit. But
what about Washington?
Well, that's the thing is, I you know, I've heard from Washington fans who want absolutely no part of Jaden Delora coming into school. And so it's just, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, it's not what I think a lot of sports journalists want to be covering, but unfortunately it's a part of it. And it's a part of what we have to like have some guidelines and guideposts about what we're understanding. And I think this one, there was like, I didn't read enough about it when it was becoming a bit of a hot topic about 6 to 8 months ago, because I was reading, oh, the initial thing was sealed, so I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah.
And then I'm reading about it, and no, but the civil case references stuff from the criminal case that's now open. You can read at least the plaintiff's side of the story in almost its entirety.
And the civil
case. And you can read that he acknowledged parts of it. At least her contention is that he acknowledged parts of it to her. And and she won a settlement of some sort in the civil case. We don't know what that is. So it would defy logic to assume that this is false, that it's in any way still debatable. Certainly, I guess it could be, but it defies all kind of general sense of how these things work. Yeah. So, long story short, could have done better.
All right. Well, we had a question from Amy in the chat. With Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL after winning a national championship, he could possibly win the Super Bowl too. Who has won both games? That would be pretty cool. Pete Carroll did. I don't know who else. Is there other people have? And Pete Carroll got fired, essentially.
Well, Nick Saban left LSU and went to the Dolphins soon thereafter, right?
He didn't go to win a Super Bowl. Jimmy Johnson, I believe.
Won Super Bowl.
Yeah, multiple Super Bowls, and then at Miami one night.
Yeah.
I think those are the ones that come to the top of my head.
Let me think. What about the other guy, the other Cowboys guy? Barry Switzer.
Barry Switzer might have, too. Yeah.
Yeah, at Oklahoma, he won in, I think, 88. When did they win?
And then he took over for Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. So
yeah. So they won in 85, and then they won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 30. So he won at Oklahoma, national title. Well, he won three titles at Oklahoma, and then won at the Cowboys.
And she's follow up. What's the possibility of this happening, in your opinion? I think Harbaugh, I mean, he's a really good coach. He made a Super Bowl already. It might be tougher at the Chargers if he went somewhere else, but. I mean, I think he has a chance. I think it's going to be hard. It's just we're not seeing a lot of, like, let's go take a chance with a college coach in the NFL. Recently, it's been more like, who are the young NFL assistants that have, like, amazing offenses? Or if you were associated with, like, Sean McVay, we're going to put those people in charge. You see, like, Mike McDaniels at the Dolphins, you know, kind of like this nerdy analytics dude or whatever. Those are the kind of people getting jobs in the NFL now. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of crossover. It would have to be like a Jim Harbaugh. And that, I think Harbaugh took a lot of convincing. He had to hire an agent because he was his own agent, and he didn't get the Minnesota job, the Vikings job, a couple of years ago. But you're going to need something like that. Like, I think you'd have to win a national championship first and then go to the NFL and win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the way it's been going. But, it's got to be a really good situation, you know, perfect situation almost, I think, for that to happen, at least in the current environment. And, you know, I think Harbaugh has a chance, though.
Yeah. Harbaugh's one of the – I mean – I don't want to debate people from like 4 years ago, but it was always stupid when people thought he was failing at Michigan. He's one of the best coaches in football. He's a crazy person who seems like really uncomfortable to be around, but that's almost like necessary to be a great football coach. And he's a great football coach.
Drinks milk and eats steak.
I mean, he won 11 games at University of San Diego. He won 12 at Stanford.
Yeah.
He went 37-3 the last 3 years at Michigan. What did he do with the Niners?
15-0.
Yeah, it's stupid. I mean, he's a stupid coach. Like, it's crazy how good he is. And I don't think gets enough credit for it because he is like a raving nutcase. You know, and isn't as like staid and stoic as like a Nick Saban, but literally one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, and the Chargers have Justin Herbert. They won 5 games this year, I believe. I think they were 5-12. But I believe it was 7 games that they lost by like a field goal or less. So like they're close, and just getting Harbaugh, you're going to win a whole bunch of those games. So I think he's got a shot. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, so like Michigan wasn't like, go back and look at what Michigan was doing between Lloyd Carr and Jim Harbaugh. Like, for him to reclaim that program and put it back where it is now is insane.
Yeah.
Like, and what he did with Stanford is even crazier. He took Stanford. We're watching Stanford now, and this is Stanford behaving how Stanford always behaved.
Yeah.
And he took that program and made them 12-1. That's insane.
Yeah.
He's going to win a lot of games with the Chargers. I don't know if he makes the Super Bowl. I don't know if he wins it, but he's going to win a lot of games there.
He will, yeah. I think we had one West Texas Mike sent in a I couldn't play the video though, West Texas Mike, sorry about that, but it was about T. Shepherd. He said there was actually a time when a current Notre Dame offensive coordinator double crossed Lane Kiffin and Ed Orgeron while recruiting T. Shepherd. I know there are stories of recruiting lore that are passed down from one generation to the next, unless we're talking about Bruin football, but I can't believe Kiffin and Coach O would ever get caught flat-footed when pursuing a player they wanted. So I'm eager to hear the USC perspective, Ryan. I'm sorry, I don't know the story, and I couldn't play. I tried to play the video and it didn't work. or maybe have to sign into something. I'm not sure, but I don't know. I could. I would ask Gerard. I'll forward this to Gerard and see if he wants to answer it on our on the USC recruiting podcast. If you want to get into that, West Texas Mike. Yeah. Do you remember T. Shepherd?
Sure.
Wide receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here, I'll send that to Chris Trevino and let him answer that one on the next show. So,
all right.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up. Anything else, David?
No, nothing.
I do appreciate everyone in the chat. Thank you so much for coming in and listening and chatting along with us live. And thanks to everyone that listens to our regular podcast. You can get us on Apple and Google and Spotify and any of the places you get your podcast. So we do appreciate it. I know Shane said that we're done. We're not done. But we do, formatting wise, we'll figure out kind of what we're doing. But we'll keep doing shows. I'm sure there's former Pac-12 football news that have been happening, like Arizona's gift that keeps giving, which is kind of fun. Some of your other programs, step up. I want to see some booster drama. I want to see some ADs fired. Maybe president's fired. I want to see some of that. So let's go.
I want to see some super chats. That's what I want to see. I want to see it close to home.
I never asked for those, but it's always cool.
You think it's gauche? Little.
No, I don't mind.
A little bit of a faux pas.
But it's good stuff.
Yeah.
You want to do a pose? Here, should we do like a... put your fists up to your left. No, the other way. Yeah, to your right, I guess. Yeah, I like that. That's our pose for this one.
Great.
We're fighting because there's drama. This was the drama show about Arizona football drama.
Got it.
For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.